But I stand before you and I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, to my brothers and sisters in the proclamation of the gospel, to the deacons, the officers, trustees, and the members of Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is truly an honor and a privilege to be before you on this Christmas Eve, this last Sunday of the season of Advent. And I do not take lightly my assignment this morning to bring forth, thus saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So before we begin, I ask that you join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house once again, your house on this second to last Sunday of this year of 2023. Lord, it was a year of many things, loss, gains, blessings, disappointment. But yet still, Lord, we are still here in your house. We are here praising your name. We are here receiving your word. And Lord, I just thank you for each and every soul that is present here in this sanctuary this morning. Each and every person who wanted to be here but could not be and is joining us via Facebook or YouTube. Lord, we ask that you just please open our hearts and our minds, anoint our spirits with as Reverend Easton says, a spiritual ear so that we may hear the word that you have for us this morning, Heavenly Father. We ask, Lord, that you please decrease me and increase you, Lord, so that your word may be heard and felt, and lives may be mended, relationships may be healed, and most importantly, Lord, someone may ask, what must I do to be saved? So, Lord, we ask these things humbly in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning, in the spirit of Advent, which we will get into what that means a little later, but it is a very important moment in the Christian calendar, as it is often the beginning of a liturgical year. So in that mindset, I would like us to look at two different scriptures this morning. The first one is in the 27th Psalm, chapter 14. And then we'll be reading Luke, chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. And when you have reached those scriptures, if you are able and willing, would you please stand for the word, the reading of the word of God. When you got there, say amen. If you don't, say hold up a minute.
Hold up, please.
All right.
Amen.
You got time. And the 27th Psalm, the 14th verse, reads as such. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. And wait for the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38 reads. And there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. You may be seated. Tabernacle, on this morning, on Christmas Eve, I want to ask you the question and the subject of our teaching this morning. What are we waiting for?
Say that.
What are we waiting for? Have you ever had to wait for something that you so desperately wanted?
Yes.
Have you ever waited on someone that you were desperately depending on?
Yes.
What kind of things were you feeling? Were you anxious? Were you annoyed? Were you worried? Did you actually get physically sick over it? Did you experience pain during this waiting period? Now, how did you feel when you actually received what you were waiting on. Or when the person that you were waiting on finally showed up and came through.
Yeah.
Well, for me personally, I do not like waiting in lines.
Oh my.
Specifically, a line at the airport. Especially if it is something that I can avoid, right? I mean, it doesn't mean that I can show up early or do early check-in. I mean, if I can avoid that line at the airport completely via TSA pre-check, best believe I'm gonna do that. It's to the point now that my mom and Jessica make fun of me for wanting to avoid any line whatsoever. I just don't like to wait. I become impatient because I want to get where I think I need to go, and I want to get there yesterday. But you see, we all do the same thing in our everyday lives. We do it for things that we have supposedly, allegedly, given to God in prayer. For things that we came up to this very altar and laid at the feet of the Lord. If we can avoid a wait, if we can take matters into our own hands, we will do it. We desire to have control over what is next by the means that we think we should receive it. But, you know, what's funny about the whole thing is the rushing to get to it through an airport line, rushing to get past the stoplight, or becoming impatient and waiting for our ride, or anything we anxiously await, we often forget what we are actually waiting for. So Tabernacle, on this Sunday, this last Sunday of Advent, in our very own season of anticipation in the life of our church, some of us are waiting for a direction, a word, a blessing, some form of liberation. And I ask all of us, what are we waiting for? You see, where we are in the context of our journey here, and in whatever season we are in life, the inflection or the tone of the words of that question can carry a much different meaning. Let me show you. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? You see, the important thing to take away from that is just a simple yet profound question is knowing exactly what the emphasis is on. What is the emphasis on the anxiousness of your waiting? Is it the annoyance of having to wait at all? Or is the focus on the person, the thing, or the circumstance you are actually waiting for? So this morning, I would ask that we all take a deep look, all of us, inwardly at our own spirits, at our hearts, ensuring that our minds are seeking to be aligned with Christ. Especially as we examine and we reflect and remember what we are waiting for in this season, my family. In Hebrew, the word kava means to wait or to hope in anxious anticipation. The root word kav comes from the word cord. And when you pull a cord tight, you can feel tension in it. Yaakov refers to the hopeful, expectant waiting. Chaka means drawn out, desperate wait. And Trul means to wait anxiously. Advent is a Latin word, and it comes from the word adventus, meaning to come or to arise. It takes place from the last Sunday of November until Christmas Eve today. These weeks represent our expectant waiting for Christ's birth and subsequently his second coming in the unknown future. The idea of having to wait for good things to come is a recurring theme throughout our scripture. It's the idea of waiting for bad things to pass. However, in this age of next day delivery, fast Google searches, the actual theology of waiting becomes more valuable during the weeks of the Advent. But if we're being honest, if we're being transparent, there is both tension and expectation in our waiting. I think, Tabernacle, we have a pretty good idea and recent recollection of what tension is, don't we?
Yes.
Especially the tension that is associated with long waits of anticipation for something that has long that been longed for. But right now, we are in the season of the Advent. Just a couple Sundays ago, we had a guest preacher speak on what Advent season is. It is an integral, important part of the liturgical or Christian calendar. It's typically the beginning of the calendar for the Christian year, and it's identified as a season of waiting, of hoping, anticipating what is ahead. The words coming or arrival translates to the Greek word parousia. Scholars believe in the 4th and 5th centuries in Spain and Gaul, the Advent season was actually a preparation for the baptism of new Christians in January. And then there was a Feast of the Epiphany, a celebration of God's incarnation, represented by the visit of the Magi to the baby Jesus, which we see in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. And then his baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, which we see in John 1:29. And then his first miracle at Cana in John 2:1. But it's during this season of preparation. Christians, they usually typically spent 40 days in penance, prayer, and fasting to prepare for a celebration. Originally, there was little connection between Advent and Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. So by the 6th century, Roman Christians tied Advent to the coming of Christ. But the coming they had in mind was not Christ's first coming in a manger in Bethlehem. It was his second coming in the clouds as a judge of the world. You see, the Advent season was not explicitly linked to Christ's first coming until the Middle Ages. So one of my favorite Christmas hymns is called O Come Emmanuel. And what's funny about this is that even through my meditation and devotions this week, God confirmed that this is the message he had for us, because each of my meditations and devotions was going over what are called the antiphons of O Emmanuel. An antiphon is a Latin word that sounds like what? Anticipate. You see, I'm going somewhere, Tamara. But back to our regularly scheduled program. The Christmas hymn, O Emmanuel, is an early church anticipatory hymn and a perfect example of the spirit of anticipation and anxiousness in awaiting the coming of Christ. I'm going to spare you guys the tragedy of my singing voice, so I'll just read the words. It starts out, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. While Israel would have sung the song in expectation for Christ's first coming, the church now sings it to commemorate the first coming and the expectation of the second coming in the future. But if we look at this season and what it has unfortunately become, we see commercialization, capitalism, Christmas shopping, Santa Claus, extreme materialism. And it quite simply has become the opposite of what the real reason for the season is. We have to remember that at the root of it all, this is a celebration of an answered prayer. The waiting and the anticipation, the arrival of the Lamb, the arrival of the gift of grace through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Christ came as a ransom, a gift, an unselfish manifestation of the greatest representation of love, an agape love, an unconditional love, a radical love, a liberating love. Now, in this season of Advent, of waiting, anxious anticipation, however you wish to classify it, there are typically four themes that are taught, meditated on, and examined in the season of Advent. They are hope, peace, joy, and love. I think the Lord has a word for us this morning that in our waiting, in our season of anticipation, he gives us hope, peace, joy, and love. We are reminded of the hope in the Lord in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 6. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We are reminded of the peace of our Lord. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, it says, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And then we're reminded of the joy of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. It says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself, is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Let it be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you." And finally, we're reminded of his love, found in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, through Mary's song of praise. Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has been sent the rich away empty, because he has helped the servant of Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And so through these gifts, to us through anticipation, our faith increases, our strength rises, and we are renewed. We are transformed in this season of waiting. But this can only be realized when we focus and remember what we are waiting for. In our first passage, we will reflect upon the words of King David in the 27th Psalm, specifically the 14th verse. If you know me, and if you have listened to me at all this year, you will know that this is my favorite song, and by far my favorite scripture in the entire Bible. Why? Because in essence, it's a culmination, it's a combination of the entire Christian experience. Look, David, he starts out the song with an affirmation and a reminder of who God is in the first three verses. And based on what God has already done, and who God is to him. David then goes on to ask God to be ever present with him, even when he is in times of despair and trouble. Next, he sings a praise to God and worships him by communicating a desire to seek the Lord. He acknowledges that nothing else matters. Essentially, at the end of the day, God is all that he has. He follows that up with another request, this time being a prayer of protection for those trying to harm him, and then another affirmation of his confidence in the goodness of the Lord, which then leads us into our verse this morning, which seems to be a shift in the direction and who David is addressing. He's not asking God for anything. He's not affirming himself. But he seems to be speaking to us directly, the reader, telling us to wait, be strong, and wait for the Lord. But let's be real for a second, Tabernacle. Where does this seemingly insurmountable faith and declaration come from? I mean, it sounds good. It's the word of God, right? But how can this apply to our everyday lives? How do we get this strength? How can we be strong when we've been waiting for the Lord for what seems to be too long in our own eyes? How can we be strong and wait for the Lord to take away this pain that racks our body daily to the point it is absolutely debilitating? How can we be strong when there is no money to cover next month's rent, much less food for the week for the family to live on? How can we be strong and wait on the Lord when we have been endlessly waiting to answer on a job and we've been scraping to get by for months? How do we stay strong and wait on the Lord when your partner and you have been waiting anxiously and praying to bless you with a child, only to be met with another negative pregnancy test or a miscarriage? How do we stay strong when we have been struggling with addiction and it seems the Lord will just not take it away? How do we stay strong and wait for the Lord when we are in an abusive relationship and there is no help in sight? And the only advice we seem to get is just move on, leave. If only it were that simple. How do we stay strong, Tabernacle, and continue to wait on the Lord if we have unbearable anxiety, depression, and such negative thoughts that the only way we see it through is to not be here anymore? We gain hope through what is given to us through the grace of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
He tells us in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim in the year of our Lord's favor." Whatever we are facing, whatever we are going through, in our season of waiting, we can remain hopeful because of the liberating gospel and the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can remain hopeful because of what he has already done in our lives and reflect on how far he has already brought us. Tabernacle, we need not fret on what is next in this next chapter of the life of our church. God has so much more work for us to do in the lives of those around us and those to come and in this community. God has brought us through so much. He has brought us through loss. He has brought us through change. He has brought us through grief. And through it all, 94 years and 10 months, we are still here on the corner of Broadway and Home Avenue. So stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for he is coming and will be an ever-present help in trouble. We are in a season of waiting, in our season of anticipation, the coming of his help, his grace, his glory. We have to keep our eyes above the waves and not become distracted, not become tormented, not become swayed by what is around us or what the enemy is trying to do to distract us, but be mindful of what the Lord has called us to do and what the Lord has called us to be to those around us. Yes.
Amen.
Next, in John chapter 14, verse 27, the Lord reminds us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." In this season of anticipatory waiting, when we receive the hope of our Lord and we gain the strength through his liberating love, we inherently invite a peace that cannot be moved. While we wait, we can counter and combat the anxiousness that is easy to fall into by receiving the peace of Jesus Christ that only Jesus can give. So how do we get this peace? How do we maintain and sustain this peace when everything around us is seemingly pure chaos? We do this by seeking a relationship with Christ.
Amen.
If you're a non-believer, we pray the sinner's prayer, we repent, we acknowledge who Jesus is, what he did, and we welcome him into our heart.
Yes, sir.
If you are a believer, you got to spend time with Christ.
Yeah.
We can only attain his peace when we develop a true and sustaining relationship with him.
Well.
We spend time in his word, we pray, we meditate on his teachings, and then we apply them to our everyday lives. In our second passage this morning, we see this woman. Her name is Anna. She is identified as three things. A prophet, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher, and a widow. It goes on to tell us that she was 84 years old and she never left the temple after becoming a widow, because she worshiped there day and night, fasting and praying. Now, while this widow is only afforded three verses in the entire Bible, it is only mentioned in the gospel according to Luke. She can teach us so much on the power of waiting on the Lord, on the power of joy in the season of anticipation. Now, let's put this into context so we can truly understand and grasp how powerful this woman's part is in the Word of God. Anna was 84 years old. She was now a widow. And all she did was stay in the temple, pray and fast. Pray and fast. Pray and fast. You talk about an ultimate prayer warrior, right? Anna knew from the hope of the Word of God made available to her at that time that there was a promise of a Messiah, a Savior. She would not leave that place of worship, and she vowed to maintain a spirit of submission and sacrifice until the promise she was waiting for decades, after losing nearly everything she loved and had through widowhood, was made fulfilled by the Lord. So imagine that joy she felt that we read in verse 38, where it says, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She had been waiting for the salvation, a promise God had given to her years and years prior. Despite being old in age, despite losing her husband, and despite being in a constant state of submission and sacrifice, Anna waited. Anna kept her hope. Anna had an unwavering peace. And as we know, this is the only way she could have maintained a constant state of prayer and fasting. She experienced the joy of the realization of what she was waiting for. It had finally come in the infant Jesus when he was presented in the temple. Imagine the trials that Anna faced and experienced in her waiting. The naysayers, the doubters, they probably said something like, oh, she crazy. Look at her, she ain't got no man. Now she's just staying up in that temple, praying and fasting. Who does she think she is anyway? What is she even waiting on anyway? She looked goofy. But yet and still, Anna waited. Anna remained steadfast in the promise and the hope through the peace she gained in her relationship with the Lord. Through the prayer, through the obedience, she was able to experience fully the joy of a fulfilled promise despite the wait. Don't get me wrong. There have been some tough moments. There had to be some tough moments of weakness. However, through it all, the Lord sustained her. He strengthened her and gave her the faith to keep on going. So in closing, in this season of Advent, in this spirit of waiting, of anticipating, albeit not anxiously, as we just said, the Word will give us hope of what He has already done in our lives. He will sustain us through His peace, and we will realize His joy. And through it all, we are waiting on His love that will be shown through the Lord showing up for us and through us in our waiting. In this Advent season, as we go into reflection over this past year, and remember the birth of the ultimate gift of love, Jesus Christ, Let us be reminded in the times when we become weary, when we feel weak, when we feel inadequate. It's the love of Christ being manifested in what we are waiting on. His love shows up in a variety of ways. Sometimes through answered prayer. Sometimes through deferred prayer. Sometimes by a lack of an answer in which he is protecting us from ourselves or a situation that was just not for us. But through it all, no matter what we are waiting on, we are waiting on the love made through Christ, through God ordaining, providing, making clear his will for our lives, our situation, and our perceived problem. Jesus is the answer today, tomorrow, and will always be. So I invite you, if you do not know the love of Christ, come experience a hope that only he can give through his peace, by way of his gift of joy, through the manifestation of his love, by the ultimate sacrifice he made over 2,000 years ago for you and for me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise. The invitation is now being given.